Wall Street reboots after Irene.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. And it is a strange start to the day in New York today with many employees staying home. We'll talk about the impact on the financial system in a moment. But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are up. The Dow up 172 points, about 1.5% at 11,457. The Nasdaq up more than 2% right now. The S&P 500 up almost 2%. In about an hour and a half, President Obama is set to announce his nominee to be the new head of the Council of Economic Advisors. It is Alan Krueger, who is a Princeton University economist known for his research on the job market. Now let's get to the aftermath of Hurricane Irene for the East Coast and for the financial system. Our regular Monday guest, Julia Coronado, is actually trapped in Cleveland this morning because of the storm. So we're joined instead by our New York Bureau Chief, Heidi Moore, who is with us live. Hi, Heidi.
Hi, Jeremy.
Well, first of all, you're not trapped in Cleveland or anywhere else. You're in the office. What are things like in New York this morning when it comes to the commute?
It's almost completely deserted outside. A lot of Wall Street firms just told people to stay home. I talked to one of our building people and I said, well, you know, maybe people didn't hear that the subways were running again. And he said, no, they heard. They pretended they didn't. Hmm. And I think that that's kind of an accurate reading of what went on today. It's a Monday in August. It's really slow. And we're not seeing a really crowded street out there. So people have just taken the chance to stay easy or to clean up if they need to clean up.
And when people stay home, is there any effect on the financial markets?
Surprisingly, not so much. As you know, a lot of stuff is automated and it's just doesn't require everyone to be at their desks every single day. So, you know, if you're a non-essential employee at the New York Stock Exchange, for instance, you can stay home. But if you work on the trading floor, then you were probably, you know, put up at a hotel or they're going to pay your parking costs. If you work at Citigroup, they arranged alternative transportation. If you work at Goldman Sachs, they gave you transit vouchers. But generally, unless you absolutely have to be at work, you know, the money's going to keep going through those pipes. Those billions of dollars are going to keep running around in the markets, whether Wall Street is full or not.
And Heidi, is that a new phenomenon that people are just sort of less necessary on Wall Street, or is that something that would have been the case 20 years ago?
Well, in terms of trading, it's been a gradual phenomenon over the past 10 years or so. Everywhere else on Wall Street, people are absolutely necessary. Even in trading, where we move around bonds and stocks, you do need people to program those computers. But what we know is that the computers are the ones who are prevalent in moving around the stocks and the bonds. And you can kick those programs into action, and they will pretty much work no matter what. Of course, we've seen that ever since, you know, before 9/11 even. You know, computerization has been going on since 1995 on Wall Street, and we're just now seeing it sort of get to its maximum point.
And Heidi, how long do you think it's going to take to get things back up to normal on Wall Street with people coming back into the offices?
Well, it depends a lot on what happens north and west of the city. So we have these bedroom communities, these upscale suburbs in Westchester and New Jersey, where a lot of people who work on Wall Street live. Now, those places don't have the infrastructure of New York. So you're seeing flooding there. There are trees down. In past storms, for instance, in March 2010, we saw some towns go without power for 96 hours. So it's going to depend where people live. You know, Millburn, New Jersey, for instance, their main street is a river, and whether they can personally dig out of those areas. And then New Jersey Transit and Metro North, the commuter rail lines that serve those areas, when they go up. So probably by the end of the week, everything will be fine. But, you know, we'll have to see on a day-by-day basis. Today and tomorrow are probably going to be a little touch and go for those areas.
Marketplace's Heidi Moore in New York. Thanks, Heidi.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation, supporting customer choice and clean, efficient energy sources and technologies, working with customers nationwide to create a sustainable energy future. Constellation.com. By LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733. And by the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information at macfound.org.
The finance minister of Japan was elected leader of the country's ruling party this morning, which means he's likely to be Japan's next prime minister. And one of the first orders of business will be figuring out how to weaken the Japanese yen in order to give exports a boost and therefore give the economy a lift. But how do you weaken a currency? Here's Marketplace's Adrian Hill.
Want to decrease the value of your currency?
Probably the single best option is to increase the money supply.
Thomas Lease is a professor at Northwestern's Kellogg School of Management. The basic idea here is very Econ 101-y. If the supply of money increases, the value of that money should fall. But governments have to be careful.
While the producers benefit from a weakened currency, the consumers suffer from that.
Pumping too much money into an economy, like Japan's or America's, can cause inflation, making it more expensive to buy things. There are other challenges for governments trying to devalue their currency.
Other things are happening as well that may be increasing or decreasing the demand for your currency.
Carl Walsh is an economics professor at UC Santa Cruz.
The value of a currency can be influenced a lot about where people think it's going.
Walsh says it's about perception. When it comes to currency policy, people have to believe a government's efforts will work. I'm Adrian Hill for Marketplace.
And finally, to Switzerland, where organizers are trying to get a new political party on the ballot for this year's parliamentary elections. A political party with one thing in mind: banning PowerPoint presentations. The anti-PowerPoint party is trying to collect 10,000 signatures so that it can do away with those fancy slideshows once and for all. The founder of this party says the Microsoft program is causing the Swiss economy to lose hundreds of billions of dollars a year because the presentations are boring. His solution? Old-fashioned whiteboard flip charts, which he says are much more pleasant and more interesting to watch. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
For the U.S. military, gas isn't priced in dollars per gallon, but lives per fuel convoy.
They would commandeer sheep and camels and attach explosives to these animals and then herd the animals in front of our vehicles and blow them up.
I'm Bob Moon. The Pentagon takes up a life and death struggle to go green. Next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.